Welcome to Manage Your Tools. This week, hiring is not an HR process, chapter one. The questions this cast answers are, who is in charge of hiring processes? Does HR control hiring? What is my role as a manager in the hiring process?
Hey everyone, if you're a listener to this podcast, you can start the new year off right by getting your management and communications training in January. And that way you can reap the benefits all year long. We'll be in Seattle and Austin for in-person training. There'll be a one-day for management training at our Effective Manager Conference. Effective Manager Conference teaches you what you need to do and how to do it in excruciating detail to help you achieve your results and retain your team. And then we have one day for the Effective Communicator Conference. Shake your ingrained communication habits and learn how to communicate the right way for everyone you meet. To find more details, go to manager-tools.com and look for training in the mini bar. We hope to see you there.
Kate, people within our organizations believe that HR controls the hiring process. And in addition to that, HR is happy to think, or happy for everyone else to think, I should say, that it's so.
Yeah, also happy to think that they control it too, I think. Like right. It's both, right?
I would agree. But it's not true. I mean, we all believe it. HR does not control the hiring process, though. Managers control the hiring process. It's not HR's process, it's ours. And we should really start behaving that way.
The more we behave as if it is HR's process, the more it becomes
exactly
HR's process.
Yes. It perpetuates this impression that we all have that it's HR's process when it's truly our own.
Mm-hmm.
So, our outline for today's cast, we're going to cover three things generally. One, that HR's role is to administer hiring. Then, that managers control hiring, followed by the fact that effective managers actually move upstream.
So, we're going to start with HR administers hiring, which we have to actually not start with that. We have to start with
disclaimer.
Right. We have to come out and say out loud that we are not against HR.
Mm-mm.
If you've been listening for a long time, you remember the days when Mark used to say that he hated HR. We don't say that anymore. And in fact, that has not always been my experience. So perhaps part of this is that we are not Mark. And as much as we wish that we were, obviously.
No, as much as they wish that we were.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. We like HR when it's effective, and it often is. In fact, we know a few people in HR who are incredibly effective people, and so we don't hate HR. We hate bad HR, and that would be true of any role where people classically weren't, effective at their jobs. I hate bad baristas.
Yeah.
Not that I've seen a barista in a while. Oh, yes, I have. There's one close to my house and it's not good. The coffee's good. The barista is not. Unfortunately, for the topic of this conversation, which is not coffee, although
I wish.
Feels like it is. There's a lot of bad HR out there. And one of the places where HR is particularly bad is in hiring and around those processes. So The title of this cast being Hiring is Not an HR Process, we are going to keep saying that because it's not. You can't have a staff function controlling the most important long-term process of an organization without danger. Hiring is critical to the future of the organization. A lot of things are called critical these days, mistakenly.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, though, that hiring is still critical, right?
Yeah,
it's not
absolutely
a mistake to call hiring critical.
Yeah, we're not exaggerating. Hiring is critical.
Absolutely.
Which is what makes it so important, then, that we understand, we realize that HR does not control hiring. That is, line management controls hiring. What that means is that HR managers set hiring policy and HR administers part of the process. Now, we're not trying to discount HR's role. HR's role is hugely important. It most certainly is what causes our hiring processes to be as organized as they are. But HR's role is to administer and assist managers in the manager's process, not to run it, definitely not to control it. And most organizations get this kind of backwards. That is, HR has actually kind of become the owner, which means HR gets to decide, even in some cases, who we hire and don't hire, which is a cardinal sin of hiring.
I don't think that managers are without sin in this situation, right? The classic thing that comes to mind is when you ask for resumes and you get six resumes and you wonder why you only got six. Actually, you don't even wonder why you only got six, and you should.
Because you know. Yeah.
Yeah, you should get more than six. And maybe those are great resumes. Maybe you're in a position where HR is wonderful. Because managers aren't always taking ownership, someone has to do it. I mean, there's to some extent in the organizations where I've been, it's partially because as managers, we don't recognize the absolute imperative we have to assist in and, you know, create effective hiring processes. And so we kind of abdicate our responsibility there. And
yeah, I would agree. We're busy. We don't take control of the things that we should take control of. And then HR comes to own it.
And we're recording this at the end of the year, which is kind of the time of year where I think about lifting my head up and looking beyond the edges of my desk because you're looking at the next year. And so it's an easy time to think like that. And it is the responsibility, like as you move up in the organization, that's your responsibility to look up from the edge of, like look past the edge of your desk and then past the edge of your kind of focus, your usual focus. Mark just talked to a hiring manager who was told by his organization's HR function that they couldn't offer the person that the hiring manager had chosen because HR disagreed. And the disagreement was HR saying, oh, the candidate's resume doesn't reflect or doesn't satisfy HR's criteria, despite the fact that the candidate was considered ideal after multiple interviews of hiring managers and peers. The candidate's background and experience were excellent, though not necessarily portrayed as such on their resume.
Okay.
HR said that there were several necessary factors missing from the candidate's resume. Managers countered that while that was so, a resume is not a complete document. It is by definition a high-level overview. And HR said that didn't matter because the process said resumes were required to have that information included.
Yeah.
Look, ouch, right?
Right. I mean, if the folks listening to this have taken or are aware of our hiring guidance, whether that be Mark's Effective Hiring Manager book or have come to an Effective Hiring Manager conference, for example, you'll know that those requirements, essentially the checklist they're referring to, because there's got to be some sort of checklist, they didn't meet all the criteria. Those things should have been created by the manager in the beginning, which means I would assume in this case also that those criterion weren't created by the hiring manager, because then HR would have agreed with the hiring manager's assessment that that's fine. It's just a high-level overview. They have what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you're right. An example of an hiring manager abdicating responsibilities that they should never have abdicated to HR. Therefore, HR feeling that they have the control over a hire, no hire decision. And this is a classic case of penny wise, pound foolish. It's an example of an HR-driven process that puts administrative satisfaction before operational effectiveness. It's wrong. And we managers must reassert control over our process. Because at the end of the day, it's us as managers who are responsible for the outcome of the process. That is, when it comes to achieving organizational objectives, or it comes to things like performance management, it comes to retention, all of those factors are going to rest squarely on the shoulders of the manager. No longer will HR be there to take responsibility. Right. That is your responsibility. So have responsibility in the hiring.
Yeah. And this isn't to say that HR doesn't play a role. They do, and an important one.
Yeah.
It's not a dispositive one. It is a supportive one, a facilitating role. HR's job in hiring is to help managers hire candidates who help achieve the organization's objectives. It's not HR's job to figure out or determine who gets hired. Advise, yes. Assist, yep. Administer, sure. Approve, no. Decide, no.
Mm-mm. So then, at the end of the day, we've said a whole bunch of things that HR doesn't do. So, what is HR's job?
The big picture is simple, right? Help managers hire who managers believe are the best candidates. Drilling down, though, what does that mean?
HR ought to be consulted when the hiring process is created. HR plays a key role in shaping hiring strategy. What talent do we need in the future? Based on executive decisions about the future of the organization, HR is responsible for the legalities of hiring, teaching managers the hiring process, how to stay within the laws regarding interviewing, decision making, and HR is responsible for the administration of hiring. Essentially, the paperwork, the scheduling, the logistics. They play a role in salary administration as well. What roles get paid what money based on which criteria? Individual managers can't do those things. Those things are what HR does and does well.
HR is also responsible for assisting in the training of managers in the whole process. Executives create the process with HR's expert input. And then HR helps executives train managers on implementing the process. Training is not control, though HR often uses hiring training that way.
It's seen like that, isn't it?
Right. HR is seen as enforcing their rules.
Yeah.
But while HR maintains and administers the process, they do not control it. Executives and managers do. Executives have delegated the promulgation of their hiring strategy to HR, but not the control of it. It's a delegation, which means executives are still responsible for the outcomes.
Yeah.
And HR is there to assist. So other things that HR does, they identify sources of talents. They support executives in that effort. They create recruiting collateral, the materials that organizational managers use when they're recruiting. HR is also responsible for measuring hiring processes and retention statistics across the organization. Individual managers can't do that.
No.
That's a scope issue, right?
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Issue, but a scope challenge in terms of
exactly
individual managers' ability to measure that. So HR can also measure sources and their effectiveness, timing, costs, and effectiveness of every step in the process. HR maintains statistics on the process. And they do this for the organization's executives and managers.
Mm-hmm. The hard part, though, in reference to statistics, is all too often those statistics are not shared with the manager. For example, when we ask individuals, okay, what are the retention statistics in your organizations? Individual managers often don't know that. And this restriction of hiring and retention data is one of the ways that HR maintains control of the process from the managers. Often, HR will say that, oh, these statistics, they're proprietary and they're confidential for the use of the organization. And they are. Companies are absolutely right to carefully control who sees its hiring and retention statistics. Without the data, managers can't adjust their hiring decisions, which then leads HR to claim incorrectly that they own the process. And they don't. Owning the data is not owning the responsibility. The data comes to HR from their administration, not from process control. So, all of that to say, HR plays a huge role in hiring. They do. But it's not a control of hiring. It's a process administration of hiring.
Do you believe that an effective manager can get greater productivity and better retention out of their organization? Of course you do. Otherwise, why would you be listening? If you want to be successful in today's environment, you're going to have to raise the bar in your organization around management skills. So if you're responsible for developing leaders in your organization, you'll want to consider our effective manager training. Give us a call and find out how we can help your organization be more effective while also ensuring that you don't lose your best people to your competitor down the road. For more details about schedules, pricing, and protocols, and how we can come to your organization and help you, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com or read the detail posted on our website at www.manager-tools.com/organizations. We hope to hear from you. We can help.
If HR doesn't control hiring, and then you probably wonder who does, the answer is managers. The answer is you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
My girlfriend's, my boyfriend's niece, she's the cutest thing in the whole wide world. And we were playing with masks the other day and she had a mask on and she took it off because we were saying, oh, where's Hattie? Where's Hattie? And she's little, right? So she's, and she says, she takes her mask off. She goes, it's me. It's me. It's really me. And it's you. It's you. It's
you. It's you.
Really,
it's
really you. You can take off your, it was a chicken, like a chicken mask or something. So
that's
silly.
That's awesome.
Managers control hiring.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely do. Hiring determines the future of an organization and who is responsible for the future of all of the organizations, the executives, which makes managers, line managers, hiring managers, responsible for the implementation of hiring. That's who controls hiring.
You, really you, Ms. Hiring Manager, own the process and HR administers it with and for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one who decides whom to hire. Hiring processes were never intended to be owned and controlled by HR. Administered, yes. Made expert, yes. And controlled, no. Control is with the hiring manager, delegated by executives. Now, it is possible that a manager would want to hire someone that isn't in line with what organizational leadership wants. That's possible.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And it happens all the time. Causing HR to want to assert their control versus administration. And it often happens because we hiring managers don't know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. But why would we?
Why would we? Managers are a classic example of organizations granting authority with a group, managers, and then not teaching them how to faithfully carry out their responsibilities. We see this all the time, right?
Yeah.
People are promoted and not trained and it's tough.
Yeah.
This fault lies with all of us, executives, HR, and definitely managers as well. Mm-hmm. If you're not educated on this process within your organization, please don't say, oh, well, it's because they didn't teach me. You could go down and find out what the answer is. You could talk to somebody. You could make an HR friend. How many times have we said, make an HR friend? If you haven't made your HR friend,
make a finance friend, make an HR friend,
go
make
down
a legal
there.
Friend, make
oh,
a friend
for
everywhere.
Sure. Legal friend? Oof, do that for sure. It's kind of like, it'd be great to have a friend who could explain health insurance, right?
Right.
That's how I feel about like a legal friend.
Yeah.
Not that you need legal, but that if you have a question.
Interpret this.
It's tough. And
yeah, I can't.
I don't know that if you're in a large organization and a governmental organization easily comes to mind, although that's not what I'm trying to reference. If you're in a large organization, though, I can't imagine that some of the stuff in the hiring guidance is easy to understand or clear in terms of what it means for your behaviors
Yeah.
So, listen, y'all, if you haven't made your hiring friend, go down there. Okay.
Yeah.
Go down there. And it's the perfect time of year to be doing stuff like this. I say that as we're recording again at the end of the year. So
there's no better excuse than walking around with some holiday cheer.
Oh, right.
It's the perfect time to wander around the office and say hello to people while wearing, I don't know, some sort of headband with potentially antlers on it or something.
That's one thing I miss about working in an office is free food and like
antlers.
Yeah, like other people's holiday cheer. Now the only place to get it is like the mall, which, I don't know that. I actually think I have to go to the mall this weekend and I don't know that I'm looking forward to it. The classic example of the manager not making an HR friend is the manager who doesn't know what he's doing, then doesn't follow the process and makes a bad hiring decision.
Mm-hmm.
HR is rightly frustrated and then uses those examples to suggest that managers ought not to be the hiring authority.
Right.
And that's frustrating. They build into the hiring system then HR checks on managers or HR approval of the system.
Yeah. Remember back to Mark's friend we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
And the checklist, and that guy didn't fulfill the checklist? It's because HR has a bunch of examples where managers went off and hired people who were not qualified, made bad hiring decisions. So they created a checklist to make sure that managers did everything they need to do. And now, oh, this person doesn't have X, Y, and Z. Oh, well then you can't hire them.
Oof.
Because they have experience to suggest that if left to our own devices, our being we as managers, we might make a mistake. So checks and balances to protect the organization from us. Now, usually this is accomplished by HR rigorously controlling all sources up front of sourcing and screening, right? Only showing hiring managers the candidates whom HR has blessed. Why wait till we get all the way to hiring?
They're folks, moving
we might
upstream.
As well do this at the beginning. They're moving upstream. Exactly. Now, if this is happening to you, HR, that is you're getting, as Kate mentioned earlier, only 6 resumes and you know you should be getting more. HR is wrongly controlling your hiring. This is true even if you think you do need the help. Guys, this is how HR's control over the process happens.
Mm-hmm.
An HR business partner offers to screen the resumes because, after all, they do it for all the other managers all the time. And the new manager says, yeah, sure.
Then, I don't have time for that.
I don't have time for that, exactly. And plus, they do it for everyone else. So, of course, do it for me too. That doesn't make sense for me to do it myself. And then the HR business partner offers to conduct their phone screens. And the new, in over their head, busy manager, yes, absolutely, I would love the help. Why not? The inexperienced manager oftentimes doesn't think twice that perhaps there were good resumes in HR's pile that they never got to see or that weren't considered. They never think, oh, well, I might have disagreed with HR's phone screen decisions, let alone who was phone screened from that pile of resumes. So then at the end of the day, they turn up with one candidate to interview. That single interview goes poorly. Mm-hmm. And the boss says, what's the holdup? After which time the HR man or the manager, the hiring manager says, well, I've only had one interview. But when you accept whatever HR gives you from their efforts upstream, they're controlling your process.
Which is a perversion of an effective hiring system. It's not HR's job to control hiring by limiting who a hiring manager can interview.
Mm-mm, it's not.
And since they're moving upstream, you should be moving upstream.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Effective managers move upstream.
That's what you can do. There are a number of things which we'll cover in future chapters of Hiring is Not an HR Process. This is only chapter one. In this chapter, the concept is to keep in mind, start moving upstream.
Mm-hmm. Think about your hiring process. The analogy here I'm going to use is a river. that flows to the ocean. The most upstream spots in that river are its headwaters, all the sources where a candidate might come from. So we're thinking here, colleges, tech schools, high schools, affinity groups, customers, even competitors or industry groups. Maybe it's recruiting firms or military transition offices or job boards. One source that doesn't get nearly enough attention is every manager's bench.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit in this cast, although probably not enough, about relationships. Having relationships with institutions or people associated with its sources is as upstream as you can possibly get in the hiring chain.
When I got the notes for this cast, I started thinking about people and hiring, and I did think about my bench. I actually thought there's a girl here in Austin who works at the mall, of all places.
Okay.
And she's a sales associate in a store that I went to. It's been like 2 years. It's been a while. And she was so great. She was so helpful and polite. And I was in there for hours. I mean, it was a long day for her. Really put it
for
through.
For you too.
Well,
for
yeah.
Everyone.
Yes. But I really put her through her paces, not on purpose, obviously. And she was delightful the whole time. And at the time, I asked for her card and resume. And mm-hmm. I actually think she was a little creeped out.
Right?
I have it on file here as part of my bench because I had such a good experience with her. And it wasn't the kind of thing where you have a good experience. And so I thought of her this morning, actually, when I was thinking about getting ready for this cast. Just the list of people that I consider on my bench are people who I don't know that would traditionally be thought of as somebody who we would hire, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I can think of two people just off the top of my head, both of whom, one who's a wedding planner and one who's a sales associate. It's just like,
those are very diverse skills. I mean, wedding planner, I immediately think they would be really good at planning a conference event. Logistics are their shtick.
And both of these people are so personable, so polite, effective, you know, but unhurried, just, I think that it's a great time of year to be thinking about your bench and thinking about all the people you know and sending out. Everybody should be sending out, like, hope you had a good enough year.
Right.
Or if you had a great year, depending on when you're listening. Everybody should be sending out notes. Hey, it's the end of the year. Like,
perfect opportunity.
Seriously.
If you're hesitant to reach out to your bench because it's awkward and I don't know what to say and it's weird and I haven't talked to them in, whatever, 12 months.
Perfect excuse
is right upon us. It is December.
Yeah. And maybe you're not listening in December, so you could set the reminder now for December and do it then. The point here of thinking about your bench is that the hiring process takes you from your bench, which is the headwaters, these source headwaters, all the way into the ocean, which represents an already effective recent hire.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about this river analogy, as that river flows, it follows this hiring process, sources, communications, marketing, advertising, job information, bench development, relationship management, job posting, screening, resumes, phone screens, interviewing, training, final interview process, offering, hiring, onboarding. Whew. Onboarding is what happens as the river starts flowing into the bay that leads to the ocean.
Exactly.
But too many managers just stand up river.
Yeah. Right? They wait for the river waters to wash over them. If you want to improve your hiring process, that's where you got to start. You got to start influencing the river upstream.
You're not watching Yellowstone, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I think it's the first season. There's this guy and he wants to build on the land near the ranch. And so they just divert the river completely. I mean, they just destroy the headwaters location so that it comes from another place and goes a different way. Yeah. And I wouldn't use their technique because as most things on Yellowstone, it's a little aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, at least you should know where the headwaters are.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You can't influence change if you don't even know where the headwater is.
Yeah, you have to think of yourself as like, how upstream are you as a hiring manager? Ask yourself this simple question. How many of those sources of candidates do I have a specific person to person, not a person in my mind, but a specific person-to-person relationship with.
If you know that your company recruits at a specific college, you know, that doesn't count. Knowing that a specific source of knowledge exists is not knowing someone who's standing at the source.
Right.
For that matter, if someone else, HR, is at the source interviewing there for you, you're definitely not upstream there.
Yeah, you don't know which mountain the water's coming from.
Exactly, exactly.
So, okay, if you're wondering how to move upstream and to do so without fighting with HR, you need to find someone at your firm who went to that school and ask them for a professor or a departmental contact whom you will call and offer to give a free talk on the state of the industry, your competitive trends, or new tech that you're excited about. Mm-hmm. But we're doing an injustice to this guidance here because we'll cover the specifics of all the upstream moves in future chapters of Hiring is Not an HR Process. So that's just a tease for our future chapters and content, I suppose.
Content, exactly. Yeah. All right. So for today, we'll wrap it up. Guys, remember, hiring is not an HR process. It's a management process because talent and finding more talent for our organizations is a core function of executive leadership. Managers implement the process based on executive guidance. Don't let HR feed you what they give you. Start influencing the process upstream.
Thanks, Sarah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kate. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks, y'all. We'll be back next week with a new topic.